I don't know how big the group of guys were that came to get him. 10, 15, 20. I don't know. How many? 50? Sure. But when they asked him, or when he asked them, who are you looking for? The one called Jesus. And when he replied and said, well, that'd be me. The Bible says they all fell back. Whether it was 10, 20, 30, 50. Can you believe they had the nerve to get back up and come and approach him? He just said, yeah, that'd be me. Whew. Anytime we talk about being slain in the spirit, I think of that verse. Now, maybe they were slain by the spirit. Praise God. Amen. If you've walked down Pike Street area, or maybe even through the Capitol Hill area, or you've pulled up to a light, I don't know, I have some memories that seem to be forever imprinted on my mind, individuals that I've seen, faces that I've saw. Of course, there's that, the face of that late teen, early 20 girl who has her face all pocked out, whether it's from heroin or whatever the case is, whatever the stuff is that seems to start coming out of your skin. And maybe she's sitting up against the building and holding a sign that says homeless, or we'll work for food, or you've seen the picture. I have a thought that always returns to me when I see this. Maybe it's a young man. Similar story, similar scenario. Obviously, been maybe exposed to the weather and the streets and a lifestyle of running. And the thought always comes back to me and returns the same way. That is somebody's daughter. And about the time I usually finish that statement in my mind, I am calling out on the name of the Lord for somebody. A mom, a dad, a parent. I don't know how old a child becomes when they stop becoming your child. Of course, we understand they don't. They never do. They're always your child. And there's always that relationship with your child. And it's a special relationship. Hey, there's a scripture I want you to look up. Where Jesus is saying, if your son asks you to fish. And on my mind this morning are children. Would you pray with me? Lord, we're thankful for your word that instructs and teaches us and tells us about you. We are able to gain a portion of perspective, how you think, how you see, the things that move you. And we are appreciative of this, that you have preserved this word and relayed these thoughts to us. And then the inspiration of your spirit to help us to identify how you feel about us and how you feel about our children. We express thanks one more time in Jesus' name. I'd like to begin by reading the scripture, Matthew chapter 7. at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. He's dialoguing with us. He's relaying to us a principle. And then he shifts from the principle itself and begins to talk about the relationship. If, or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? He's talking about, he's appealing to us in our relationship to our own children and saying, which of you would do this if this scenario played out? So your 3-year-old, your 5-year-old comes and asks of you, Daddy, can I have a cookie? No, wait till dinner time. Well, where's your mom? This is between you and me. What is it that pulls at our heartstrings? It is our relationship of love for that child, God-given in nature that he created. And so he uses this little scenario as he's teaching this principle. If you'll ask, if you'll knock, if you'll seek, there will be things come to you. And then he begins to talk about the relationship, and he gives the comparative of the natural relationship, which we very quickly identify with. And then he says something like, how much more? If you can identify with this little pulling of the strings of your heart situation whenever your child asks of you something, knowing you can provide it for them, how much more? With your heavenly Father. How much more do you think when you come asking of me, how much more do you think I want to give good gifts unto my children? God loves children. He loves us as children. In the book of Matthew, 19th chapter, verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Then Jesus said, suffer the little children, this is King James, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such of the is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. Now, hold on to that while we go over here for a minute. When we read news reports, we repeat them oftentimes like facts. No, I read the other day that when scientific evidence is presented, well, we regard this as absolutes and truth. No, it's a fact. They've already proven. We agree that the Bible is true. But you got to admit, we dismiss a lot of parables, stories, just as that. Anecdotes. We would all agree tonight. Do you believe the Bible?
Yes.
But then we watch for the evidence in our own lives for some of the things that we say we agree with and believe in. And we throw it up in the category of a hope.
Well, we're hoping. We're
hoping so. Amen. I want to share this with you, this little story in the Bible. Matthew, the 8th chapter, 28. Matthew 8 and 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes. Now, we're over here, remember? We're going to come back over here in a minute. When he come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs. I used to live across the street from a graveyard. Exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. Now you got the picture? Tasmanian devil coming out of the gravestones. These guys are just, everybody's afraid to even go around the place. And over here we got a farm, pigs eating. Devil's crying out to the Lord. "Have you come to torment us before our time?" So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us or allow us to go away into the herd of swine." You ever heard of an eruption at a dog pound? Wonder what's happening there. Just kidding. Okay. And so he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently. You ever seen a pig run violently? That's a scene. Down a steep place. With them short legs, into the sea, and perished in the water. Now, that's a sight to behold. But we're reading it from the Bible. And so we're understanding, we get this visual of the Lord. They've come to the other side. Guys come, he says, "Go to these demons." They go into the pigs run down this cliff and into the water and commit Harry Carey suicide. They drown. So now what's the scene look like? All over the place, there's pigs floating in the water. Mm-hmm. Now that's about the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. Now let's say you just happen to be walking down the road, minding your own business. You hadn't seen all this over here, but all you see is pigs. You thought you were going to the beach for the afternoon? And there's pigs everywhere. Now, that's crazy, isn't it? But having read from the scripture, we can accept this as, wow, this is something that took place, and God was involved in this. If you were in Jerusalem that day and you were out on your deck and you were having a cup of coffee and you picked up the Jerusalem Post, you'd probably read this. A strange anomaly was taking place in the River Jordan today. A massive amount of pigs have been seen floating in the water. It is unclear how this happened or where these pigs came from. Scientists believe it's due to a change in the weather patterns. Or a new strain of bacteria has infected this huge number of pigs and they have all died. And we would take that as gospel truth to our neighbor and say, "Did you read about the pigs? Jerusalem Post, front page, pigs everywhere." My Lord. Call your wife, tell her not to buy any ham. They could already have been made it into the system. Put out an alert. We read stuff in the paper. We hear it on Cairo, and we think, this is gospel truth. We better be careful. Yeah, we're just playing. We're just having fun. Well, wait a minute. Let me read to you another report. A real one. Out of the Guardian newspaper. The Guardian, March 29, 2013. This year. Rivers, this is the caption. Rivers of blood. The dead pigs rotting in China's water supply. Shanghai's drinking water is under threat after 16,000 diseased pigs' carcasses are found in tributaries of the Hongpu River. Real story. Wonder what really happened. Sometimes we so far remove God and our relationship in walking in Him from the world that we are a part of Monday through Saturday and Cairo and the News Tribune and all of the news and the things that go on around us and the Twitter feeds, and we separate those two worlds. I wonder what really happened there. Okay, now we're going to go back over here. The book of Mark, chapter 9, at verse 17. I'm going to read in the New Living Translation for you, okay? One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son so you could heal him. He is possessed with an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever this spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid." I've only seen that one time in my life. I have seen it. Right in front of me, 2 feet away across the table. They called it a seizure. This man said, "There's a spiritual problem here and I need your help." Now I realize this was long before the extended medical procedures and the, you know, hospitals and all that, and I have a deep appreciation for any doctor that could sew on my arm if it got cut off. You understand that? Lose a limb and they rush you to the hospital and they can sew it back on. Wow, that's something. That's great. I'd love for that to happen. I mean, if that happened. You understand? Let's be clear here when we're talking to the Lord. But when I read this, this is what I see. I see a young man that's having seizures. And this father who is helpless in the matter brings him to the Lord and said, "There's a spiritual problem here." "How long," Jesus says, "how long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, "Since he was a little boy. The spirit often throws him into the fire or into water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." "What do you mean, if I can?" Jesus asked. "Anything is possible if a person believes." "Well, he has seizures." "Well, he forgot to take his medicine." I'm not here to raise doubt on the medical industry, but to bring faith and a confidence to the hand of God and his desire and want and wish to help our children. The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. I command you to come out of this child and never enter into him again." Wow, that's an awkward situation. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. I want you to take a minute and express some thanks unto God, would you? We're thankful for your mighty hand, Lord Jesus. And we wait upon you in the varied degrees of situations that we come up against, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We trust you and we believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. We believe you, Father. Now, a child driven or influenced by a spirit is entirely different than a strong-willed child. Okay? But I've observed and watched at times when teenage boys, just happened to be that they were boys, could have been girls, under the influence of the music that they were constantly listening to. And what became so evident was, is outside that door, they were boisterous, they were loud, they were kicking around in the parking lot, and as soon as they would come into a worship service, I think, what in the world is going on with them? And it was as though they were unable to control it till the end of the worship service. Then it was like they would come alive again. And then inquiring, we begin to understand that what they had been feeding themselves through their iPod, headphones, whatever, was their choice of music. And apparently there was influence that was operating through that and affecting those kids. Were they possessed? I don't think so. Were they under the influence? I think so. And so we as parents, you know, we find ourselves covering and protecting and doing our best to persuade and convince sometimes our children of how crucial it is and how critical their involvements, the things that they feed themselves, which sometimes comes through the people and children that they associate with. Well, that's true for adults too. But I feel to focus here on our children here today. Thank God for what he did for that man's boy. I mean, can you imagine sitting out by the campfire and everybody's having a great time and hamburgers on the grill, and all of a sudden a child starts to writhe and squirm off his seat and fall in the fire. Clothes start burning. I know the scripture doesn't elaborate, but when you fall into a fire, things burn. Maybe he had scars up and down his arms and legs. I don't know. Hair burns in fire. And it acted like this was an occasion that happened often. And if they had, if they walked by a body of water, you know, walking through the neighborhood and there's a pool, come here, stay close to me. Hold on to me. Hold my belt. Not knowing that any moment that spirit would come into a place of manifestation and influence and throw that child into a pool, a stream, a river, a lake. How do you live your life like that? Well, you don't. You stop living your life and you start living every moment for your child and all the situations that they're dealing with. Can you imagine the change that came to that man? The liberation, the peace, the joy. Because God touched his child and commanded a spirit to leave that child and no longer come into him. Well, how much authority do we have in our homes anyhow? Well, it seems like the state's trying to take it all away. It seems like the government's still got this big eye watching us, you know. Don't speak about this and don't raise your hand and don't do this, don't do that. Let me tell you something. By the word of God, you've got an authority far greater than what you understand. And as we live in it and operate in it, there is a covering that can exist like Job's covering. Let's go to, I'm loving the book of Mark today. I got several verses out of the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5 at 21. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. I'm in the NLT, New Living Translation, okay? I'm not trying to apologize or make excuses. I'm just wanting you to understand. Jesus got into the boat again, went to the other side of the lake where a large crowd of gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. I mean, this wasn't like this wasn't the doorman. This wasn't the janitor. This was the leader of the synagogue that all those looked up to. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. I get the idea we got a desperate situation here. Pleading fervently with him, "My little daughter is dying." He said, "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." I'm not very far removed from my time spent with Sean Whaley and his description of holding his young daughter in his arms, sick with cancer. Jesus went with him and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, the bleeding stopped. Let's pray. Our faith is in you. Our confidence rests in you. Live or die, Father. Our confidence in our faith is in you. Jesus, you're able to do all things. With you all things are possible to them that believe. We express here our belief tonight, today, our faith in you, our trust and our confidence in you, acknowledging your compassion for us, Lord. Acknowledging your compassion for us, Lord. Jesus' name. Do we see how in control the situation was to the woman with the problem? It didn't matter if the crowd was worshipers or not. It didn't matter if the crowd was full of faith or not. It didn't matter if the crowd was in the way and keeping her from him. What mattered was her approach and faith in him. That's all. I'm well aware of the scriptures that says, is there any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint, pray the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith to raise the sick. I'm well aware of those scriptures. But I have experienced firsthand times when I have pursued God myself to the place of healing. Pursued him until I wouldn't be persuaded, because he and I have a father-son relationship. Jairus is in the background. Come on, let's get this over with. Come on, my daughter's sick. She's dying. She's a little girl. Jesus is delayed. He's handling business. God, what's going to happen? She's only got so much time left, I'm sure. Should I interrupt this situation? Jesus, you were already committed to me. Come on. I've been waiting all this time. What is our approach to him? Where's our level of confidence in him? Immediately the bleeding stopped. She could feel it in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" "Who touched me?" His disciples said unto him, "Look at the crowd pressing around you. How can you ask, 'Who touched me?' Like everybody's touching you." But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. He said unto her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." Could we thank the Lord? We're thankful to you, Father. Would you stand for a minute? Would you stand to your feet? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You're worthy of praise, Lord. You're worthy of glory and praise, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, 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 Jesus. While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." Would you be seated, please? Can you imagine for a minute the hope that Jairus received when the Lord said, "Come on, let's go"? He already had faith to believe that if you would just come and lay hands on her, you could heal her and she would be made whole. Oh, my Lord, the hope. Having a child who you knew in time was passing away from an affliction and a sickness, and then begin to move in that direction with hope, some excitement. Little interruption takes place. Get a little antsy. You know, your hope had already leaped about a mile down the road, and you were trying to catch up to it because of the excitement. Little interruption here. Come on, come on, come on. Let's go. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. And then the recognition of your own servants coming with their drawn faces, with that look in their face like, "We don't have something very good to tell you," to come and then tell you, "It's too late." Wow, what a ride. What a ride. Not just down the hill, but off the cliff. Circumstances play games with us. They take us up the hill and down the hill and up the hill and down the hill. Circumstances. Well, it looks like he's getting... Well, no, the doctors are saying. I don't know what the Lord is doing here, but I feel so in the Holy Ghost. I don't know what he's about to do. And I'm trying to just stay right where I am for as long as he would ask, and to say whatever word that he would give me. I'm not making any promises or declarations here. I'm just trying to be used of him. I don't know what he's about to do here, but I just feel like I want to praise him right now. I want to give him thanks. I want to give him glory. I want to give him glory. I want to give him glory. He's able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Hallelujah! 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 Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher. But Jesus overheard them, and he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith." Man, I would want to latch on to him about that moment and not turn loose. I'd want to close my eyes going through the crowd and not look at anybody's faces. I would so want to embrace those few words that no circumstances could begin to come against me to try to defeat the faith in his few words. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw how many times have you said, we got to get us 100 people praying for this matter? Send out a mass email. You. Come with me. Folks, enjoy your afternoon. Y'all stay here. Don't need your help today. They came to the home. Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. Once again, Jairus is holding fast to the few words that the Lord had spoken to him. Circumstances is obviously opposing all of that. He went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. I'm thinking probably somebody did one of these. She's gone. Weeping and the wailing started. You know, the blood stopped pumping, heart stopping, nothing's happening. But the Lord says, you know, the same one initiated the word that said, speak things that are not as though they were. Same one that said that says, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. The crowd laughed at him. You'd have thought he would have done one of those, whoo, but he didn't. But he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha koum, which means, little girl, get up. And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what had happened. And then he told them to give her something to eat. Oh, does he care about the things that we care about? Oh, does he love our children? Does he love us as his children? Does he move with compassion? Does faith move him? Oh, yes, it does. Mark chapter 7. Anybody want to stay to the end of this? I may be pushing the envelope on the clock. Oh, we don't have a clock anymore. Then verse 24. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know which house he was staying in. But he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. She begged him to cast out the demon from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrophoenicia, Jesus told her, first I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. She replied, true, Lord, that's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plates. Good answer. He said, now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. You don't want to lay hands on her? We don't need to have a prayer meeting? Shall we fast 48 hours? But she's not here right now. I can't get her to attend a service.
Oh, man.
Good answer. Woo! Go home. It's done. Do you mean I can approach the Lord? We talk about this woman like she's, you know, pre-dispensation, Gentile. The Lord's not dealing with them yet. Like it's a big deal for God to leap across the line, you know. He was who he was from everlasting to everlasting. In the past and in the present right now at the same time. You mean my approach to him can be that significant? Let's have our musicians come. Do you believe these words? Do you believe these scriptures that we've read from the Bible today? This isn't the Jerusalem Post. It's definitely not the News Tribune. And his spirit is here confirming to us these things. We have so many varied situations represented in this room. And I'm telling you that God knows the detail of each one of them. Well, I prayed. Well, I believed. I don't know why it is that God operates this way sometimes, but you know what? Sometimes it's like he gives a little window and a season. Like the angel at the pool of Siloam. You couldn't just go in and jump in the lake every day, check, hoping one day you're going to get healed. There was something about that was said about the angel standing, stirring the water, and that when you got in, if the waters were being stirred, you could receive your healing. I don't know why God operates that way sometimes. But I'll tell you one thing I know for sure. The water's being stirred. I'll just turn this altar into the pool of Siloam right here.
Conquered it all. situation untouchable by him.
Jesus, your name is more than a name. It's given me hope. It's given me life. Jesus, your
Such a wonderful peace that his word has brought into the room today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.